Well, first to the United States, where damning testimonies emerged about former President Donald Trump's behaviour on the day of the January 6th Capitol riots. The US Select Committee investigating the storming of the Capitol held a surprise new hearing today. A former senior aide to the president's chief of staff, Cassidy Hutchinson, told how Donald Trump was aware of possible violence on January the 6th and that his supporters had weapons when they gathered. Ms. Cassidy spoke of how President Trump became irate and lunged at security when he was told he would not be driven to the Capitol on January 6th because the situation wasn't secure. For more, we welcome back our US correspondent Ron Elving in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, Ron.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Catherine.
Just yesterday we were saying that there was the surprise unplanned extra session for the Select Committee. Now we know what it's about. Can you explain more?
The committee has called its most important witness thus far. The first five sessions were quite well received. They were widely watched, and they were considered to be highly problematic at the minimum for President Trump, former President Trump. But this session really entered into new territory because this particular aide was present at the president's side. She was the closest aide to his chief of staff, and she was in the inner circle throughout that day, and she was observing the president, hearing what the president said, and when she was not exactly in that spot, she was getting it all from the chief of staff, who was speaking to her throughout the day. So this was the most vivid recording of both, if you will, audio and video we have had of the president on that day, and it was truly shocking.
What was some of the most shocking evidence given?
Perhaps the moment that will live for most people is the idea of the president getting in the presidential limousine, telling the driver, all right, we're going to go up to the Capitol, where the president apparently expected to be at the head of the protest group as it arrived at the Capitol, many of whom were prepared to break in. And the president was apparently apprised that they were prepared to go in. And the president had been apprised that they had weapons, in some cases semi-automatic long guns, and the president did not seem to care. At one point he said, they're not carrying those weapons to hurt me. Let them in. Let them go through without magnetometers. Let them come to my speech. And then he sent the crowd up to the Capitol and got in the limousine to join them there. And when the Secret Service said, we can't drive you there, sir, it's not a secure location, we tried to secure it, we cannot be responsible for you, and refused to drive him there, he lunged for the wheel and then went for the neck of the driver when the driver refused to let him take control of the vehicle. This is not what you would call presidential behavior.
And again, I think you've alluded to it already, the idea that he knew that there were people carrying weapons, including automatic weapons. His response was, well, they're not going to hurt me.
That's correct. When he was giving his speech near the White House on what's called the Ellipse, this is, if you will, the South Lawn of the White House, he wanted a bigger crowd, and he found out that the Secret Service was keeping people out because they had magnetometers that were detecting any weapons. And so that kept his crowd rather small, and the bulk of the crowd was on the other side of the next avenue up by the Washington Monument. And so the president saw those folks up there and said, let them in too, and the Secret Service said, no, that some of them have weapons. And so the president was apprised of that, and that's when he made the remark about, well, they're not here to hurt me. And this was the crowd that he then sent up the mall to the Capitol, and that eventually broke in there. And as we now know, there was quite a bit of knowledge within the president's inner circle, including his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, that that was exactly what was planned and exactly what was going to happen on this particular day, and that there were congressmen involved in the plot.
This is what is important from the perspective the committee is building. And remember, there are Republicans on this committee, but they are would be regarded as rebels by many of their Republican colleagues, and Liz Cheney in particular, no friend of the president, far from it. It has been building a case to establish whether the president was involved in some form of a conspiracy. In other words, that whether this wasn't just going along with the flow or it just happened all around him, but whether he was somehow part of it. Now, has there been evidence out of today that supports that? For example, Ms. Hutchinson talked about how she was getting warnings about what happened might happen on the 6th, and was that in advance of the 6th?
Yes. In fact, days in advance of the 6th, Rudy Giuliani said, oh, aren't you excited about what's going to happen on January 6th? It's going to be a big day. And she was also informed from other directions, including some of the president's legal staff, that they were getting indications. And the Secret Service, and one of the people she quoted most often was the head of the president's Secret Service detail, who actually had the title of Deputy White House Chief of Staff. This was a person whose office was adjacent to hers, and she spoke with him often, and he made it clear they were getting information that the crowd forming on January 6th to hear the president was going to be contemplating violence, planning violence against the Capitol.
Further quotes, and again, this is the significance because it is someone who, while secondhand, was close to the president on the day. And had that been missing so far from the hearings? Someone who was actually close to the president on the day, not to Mike Pence, not to security. We've got all the footage that's come out of what happened, but someone who was close to the president on the day. Is what is particular about this?
Yes, that's precisely it. This is our first opportunity to be taken inside the inner circle, inside the Oval Office, inside the president's coterie of most trusted advisors on that very day in contemporaneous fashion, hearing what the president's daughter was saying, hearing what the chief of staff was saying, hearing what the head of the Secret Service was telling him, hearing all of that and seeing the president's violent reaction.
The other point, I'm not sure if you've mentioned it already, was the president's reported reaction when he was being warned by aides that people were calling for the vice president to be hung. Literally calling for
that. His response to that was... His response to that was perhaps as shocking as anything else we heard today. His response to that was irritation. He said, well, maybe he deserves it, and did not want to object to the fact that people were chanting, hang Mike Pence. In fact, one of his last tweets to the crowd as they were breaking into the Capitol was to tell them that Mike Pence had failed them and did not have the courage to do what President Trump wanted him to do, and that, of course, was only incendiary to that crowd.
How surprised were people at this testimony, given what we've heard so far, and who was surprised at the extent of it or the nature of it?
Perhaps the most surprising element of it was that it would come from someone who was among the president's intimates and someone who is so clearly in a position to overhear these things. And in the past, we've heard from journalists and other people intimating that some of this might have taken place, and perhaps they had common sources, but we haven't seen anyone put their face to it. And this young woman, with enormous composure, sat before this committee, sat before national television cameras, and related all of this in a manner that I think most people could understand and relate to, perhaps more so than anything we have seen or heard up to now about the entire episode.
The question is its impact, Ron, and we are talking about a president who, as a candidate, memorably said, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? And the question is the impact of this either on the party in which he holds such sway, the potential for him to be a nominee again, the potential for people to vote for him again. Is there any impact or is there a different possible consequence out of this?
My sense is that the impact may be more subtle than we would like. We might like to see a poll that showed some sort of change. We might expect to see some sort of denunciations from people who have defended him. I don't anticipate that. I don't predict that. I suspect that the change is more subtle and that there are more and more people who realize they are defending the indefensible. They may not be able to reverse themselves. They may not be able to step away from the former president quite yet. But I believe that this is having an effect. I believe that these dedicated Republicans who have been Republicans their whole lives and their disillusionment and the stories that they're telling in this incredibly impressive fashion are having an effect. And down the road, we are going to see erosion, not in the sense of polls, not in the sense of denunciations, but in changes of attitude.
Well, it's been a long time and a lot of evidence, and we've still not seen that out of some. We've seen it after the event. We've seen people like William Barr and people who served in the president's administration now talking very forthrightly and very frankly. But as for those still involved in an active way in the Republican Party and its leadership, we've not heard such denunciation.
No, The Senate leader, the Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, has been quite distant from the president. They have not spoken in years. And so, in a sense, he represents the independent wing of the party. And then you have Kevin McCarthy, who is the leader on the other side of the House chamber, where he is the Republican leader. And he believes that he has to stand with Trump until the election in November. After that, he would probably feel he had a little more leeway to step away if he does become the new speaker in the new Congress. But I'm really predicting that there is a change in people's attitude towards how they handle Donald Trump in the Republican Party, among conservatives. Conservatives in America. Many of them are celebrating the results of the Supreme Court decision against abortion, and they know that that happened because of the appointees of Donald Trump, so they are enormously grateful to Trump for appointing those anti-abortion Supreme Court justices. So you have that emotion on one hand, and then you have the extraordinary revelations about his personal behavior on January 6th and his involvement and the planning and the criminality, frankly, of what went on. And they have to deal with that as well. My guess is that the best chance to do that is by pushing it off and having it change a long-range plan for how people deal with Donald Trump, as opposed to an immediate denunciation or a change or a 180-degree turnaround and suddenly saying, well, I guess he's guilty.
Thank you, Ron Elving, our U.S. correspondent. He is with NPR.